I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo for Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. We're back, or at least I'm back. I'm Brad Locke with Emma Kent sitting in for the ill Derek Russell. Get well soon, Derek. I don't know what he's got. He's down with something. I'd be more specific, but HIPAA regulations won't allow me to be. But anyway, hopefully he'll be back.
Don't get us sued, Brad.
I'll try not to. So Emma, how are you?
I'm good, Brad.
Did you have a good Christmas break / New Year's?
Mm-hmm. I did.
You did. Got a lot of sweaters, I'm told.
Yes.
Is that a new sweater?
No, this one is not new, but I did get several new sweaters. It's cool. My favorite thing to get for Christmas.
See, I just don't like sweaters, but I don't think they look good on me for one thing. They look fine on you, I just don't look good on me. And they're kind of itchy and stuff.
Not if you have a good sweater.
Yeah, maybe
what kind
not.
Of sweaters are you wearing?
None, because I don't wear them.
I'd like to see you wear a turtleneck sweater.
No.
Just once. Just for one. Just a black turtleneck.
That'll make me feel pretentious. But also artsy. Maybe.
You are kind of pretentious, Brad.
Well, thank you, Emma. It's the nicest thing you've ever said about me. Oh, boy.
It really is the nicest thing. You should hear the other stuff.
Oh, boy. Hey, that's Chris Kiefer, our producer. Enjoying your coffee there?
Mm-hmm.
How much sugar did you put in it?
Only 8.
All right.
No, I don't drink sugar.
Yeah, Emma tweeted this morning that she was behind someone in the McDonald's drive-thru. She pulled up to order. Their order was still on the screen, and it was a small coffee with... Eight sugars.
And three creams. Which is excessive, but not as bad. But why do you need, why?
A small coffee, okay? You got like a medium there, right? Or is that a small?
I think, I'm not really sure
what size
this is, because I just said I want a coffee.
They'd probably give you a medium if you just said I want a coffee. So small's, it's not much difference in size, but 8 sugars? Like how much actual coffee? There's no room for the actual coffee.
Why are you even drinking coffee if you want it to taste like sugar?
Just get a Red Bull. That'll probably taste better.
Yeah, you know? I don't know.
I mean, the Red Bull tastes like a pixie stick. I don't like it, but if you don't like the taste of coffee, then...
Why are you drinking it?
Why are you even bothering with it?
Or get a Coke, or...
Yeah, because that has caffeine, too, right. So if that's what you're after.
Did you notice if it was like an adult or like maybe a teenager didn't know what they were doing, or...
I really wasn't paying a lot of attention. I think they were driving a Nissan, but that's all I can tell you.
Hmm.
That explains everything.
If you're out there, we have a lot of questions for you.
Did you get a tag number?
A state?
You need to report you to the coffee police. You committed a major offense. I take my coffee black. I used to put sugar.
Milk goes great with black coffee.
What is milk?
A turtleneck.
Oh, right. That would go. Yeah. Black coffee and a black turtleneck. And have my glasses that are black rimmed that I'm wearing today.
Pull them down a little bit more on your nose.
You could start snapping instead of clapping.
Mm-hmm.
Recite some poetry I've written.
You got the hair already.
I do.
Maybe a little spikier.
Got the beard already.
Yeah.
I'm just a turtleneck away from being a complete and total hipster, I guess.
It's not really a word anymore.
Is it not? What is it now? Because I still see quote unquote hipsters.
It's 2017, Brad.
So what are they called now? So I feel like almost hipsters are...
Millennials.
you would know. You are one.
I feel like it's become...
It feels like hipsters are now self-parody almost.
Yeah.
Like you can't be unaware if you're acting like a hipster or whatever you want to call it now. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Hipsters tend to be pretentious. Huh. See how I did the callback there to the earlier thing?
That's clever.
That's how you do this. Emma, take notes on how to podcast.
All right.
You sound pretentious.
I sure do. Ask my family. They think I'm pretentious all the time about music and movies and other...
It's okay. That doesn't mean you're just a snob in certain areas.
I admit,
and that's okay.
I admit I am a bit of a snob when it comes to like music and beer and...
Food.
Not so much. Okay, I have given up Hot Pockets at least. I've at least done that, but I still eat some.
Hot Pockets.
Dead Pockets. Jim Gaffigan won't sue us for saying that. stealing his material.
I think we're okay.
Yeah, so I try not to act pretentious. Sometimes I still just can't help myself, and I have to be like, this song is terrible. Why are you listening to it? Then I realize my daughters are teenagers, and at that age, you're going to listen to some bad music. I did. I listened to a lot of bad music, because all I listened to growing up was 80s and 90s pop radio.
Country.
Top 40. And then I got into country, which in the 90s was still decent.
It was still good.
It was still pretty good in the 90s, some of it, but that's about the time it started going in the totally wrong direction, which it did back in the 80s for a while because they all started to try to sound like pop music. It had pop country back in the 80s, and then it kind of came back to the center in the 90s.
Do you think that's what's happening now, too?
And now it's just, I don't know what you call it.
I mean,
it.
A lot of it's still really bad now, but you've got some people who are, like, returning to that kind of...
You do, and there's kind of a movement.
Classic country.
I don't know if you call it underground movement, but there's definitely a movement to get back to that. The Sturgill Simpsons, mm-hmm. the Chris Stapletons, Jamie Johnsons, Nikki Lane, I like her a lot. And there's still some mainstream artists that I like, you know, like Miranda Lambert. She's really good.
She is good.
And so, you know, it's, I didn't mean to get off on that tangent, but yeah, I do enjoy good things, quality in my art and my coffee and my beer.
And
I'm a coffee snob too, by the way, which you probably figured out by now.
I had no idea.
I just take a, well, you knew that.
I know.
I do just take a black though.
I am too though. I mean, I'll drink bad coffee, but I don't like it.
Well, I mean, you're drinking it right now. But you know what? I had McDonald's coffee.
But like McDonald's coffee isn't as bad.
No. It's
okay.
I've had worse. It's not as bad as the Starbucks regular coffee.
Oh.
Their flavored stuff, I'll drink some of that.
I love Starbucks coffee.
But just their plain old coffee, it tastes
love
burnt.
It's dark and it's bitter, just like me.
Well, it's the wrong kind of bitter. It's like burnt bitter. I like bitter, but not that kind.
Brad didn't even laugh at my joke.
No.
I was too busy trying to make myself heard. Okay.
He's too busy thinking about himself.
He's too busy being pretentious.
He's not, exactly. He's not listening to you.
The only opinions that matter on this podcast are mine. Just kidding.
And today
just
it's
kidding.
The Brad Locke Show.
Every day.
I'm just kidding.
Pretty much.
What if I like just threw a fit and threw the microphone across the room and left?
That would probably...
Would you be surprised?
You, yes, because you're kind of mild-mannered.
Interesting.
Derek does that, though, sometimes.
It'd make for a good ratings boost, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, since I am standing in today for Derek, since I am Derek today.
You could do that. Just don't damage the equipment, though. We'll take it out of your paycheck. Yeah. Hey, we got a good show today. We've got Bobby Harrison, the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Journal. The new legislative session has begun, by the way. So that's going on in Jackson. All the state lawmakers gathering and trying to wrangle out a new budget and... maybe campaign finance reform and other stuff like that. We'll talk about some of that stuff with Bobby here in just a little bit. Also, William Moore going to come on and talk about a possible bond issue in Lee County. They're wanting to get a new jail built and improve some roads. So they may have a bond issue on that this year. William will talk about that. And it's Wednesday, so we've got Jenna Parsons talking about food. I didn't see any food when I saw her this morning before the podcast.
What do you mean you didn't see any food?
She never brings food in here. You'd think.
Are you just saying that she should bring food?
Oh, yeah, she should, because I like food, especially if it's free.
Derek and Brad complain every time Jenna comes on here that she didn't bring food.
Every single time.
Never gets old.
Doesn't work. She never brings it. Speaking of food, today's show was sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods. See, Emma, that's called a segue.
I'm taking notes.
In your head?
Pretentious.
You're not writing anything.
That's called pretentious.
Formerly known as Palmer's, the locally owned grocery store still offers high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. So visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main. That's where the hipsters shop, right?
Yeah.
That's where you shop.
That's where I shop.
Where the millennials
shop. And I'm
the
hippest.
I don't know if you're the hippest if you have to say you're the hippest. Or if you just...
I really do shop there sometimes. So.
Yeah. It's a good place.
Yeah.
Good place.
I like it.
Okay. All right, we're ready to go, Chris, with this thing. You're just hovering over the
with this thing
button to
with this podcast thing.
Yeah,
this pod.
Okay, this cast of
thingamajig
pod. Okay, let's go. Let's go down to Jackson and visit with Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison. Bobby, how you doing?
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
Doing well, sir. I enjoyed your column today, in which you quoted some Jason Isbell lyrics. That's always a winner in my book.
Well, it makes makes it easier to write to Connell, and he's a much better writer than I am, so I just let him fill in the words.
Yeah, there you go. It was about whatever you want to call it, the dichotomy of Christmas holidays and then legislative session.
Isabel has a song about that?
Kind of opposites. No, but Bobby managed to make it relevant. Yeah. I mean, you enjoy covering this, obviously, Bobby. You've been doing it for several years, but it is kind of weird to come off the season of giving and love, and then you dive right into the legislature and people sniping and being contentious and all that fun stuff that comes with politics and legislating. It started yesterday, Bobby. So I know usually not a lot of stuff happens early on, but we did have a good bit of talk about the state superintendents, didn't we?
That's right. Something happened in both chambers. One was sort of symbolic. The other was more significant. If you recall, last session, 2016 session, hard to believe the 2016 session is behind us now, but it is, and it's 2017. But in 2016, the legislature finally passed a bill, and it was signed into law by the Governor Bryant that would eventually make all superintendents appointed. Right now, there's about 55 in Mississippi out of the 145 school districts that are elected, and we're one of a few states that have elected superintendents, and most people believe it's better to have an appointed superintendent. And after this election, after this term, all the superintendents in Mississippi will be appointed by the local school board. And what happened was the superintendent in Webster County resigned effective December 31st, and they realized that they were going to have to hold a special election, which would cost about $60,000, and have an elected superintendent for roughly 2 years. And instead, the legislation passed yesterday out of the House Education Committee that would mandate that if the superintendent if there's a vacancy in an elected superintendent seat for retirement or, God forbid, death or whatever, then the school board could go ahead and make that appointment instead of having a costly special election. And so that bill passed the House Education Committee. Will probably be taken up in the full House today, and they're trying to get it passed this week. If they don't,
right,
under state law, they had to have the election anyway, so they're trying to rush that bill through.
Yeah, I mean, I think John Moore said it would be like $60,000 to have the special election for that in Webster County, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's what he said. That seemed a bit high to me, but I mean, I guess he's done the math.
Well, that's this one issue the legislature will tackle over this 90-day session. Bobby, some other big issues we expect to crop up here. One of them you wrote about the other day, campaign finance reform, something that's been discussed in the past, Bobby, but nothing really got done on it last year. What are they hoping to do this year with it?
Yeah, this also goes back to the 2016 session. There was a big push in 2016 to make some changes to the campaign finance law. We're one of the few states, I mean, literally handful of states, that allow politicians to use their campaign finance funds for personal expenses as long as they pay taxes on them. And, you know, there's been some investigations done that, hundreds of thousands of dollars have been converted from campaign finance funds to personal funds when politicians are retired from office. There's been instances of politicians literally buying cars, nice suits, all sorts of stuff with campaign finance funds. And there was an effort last year to stop that from happening. It died in the House, and it was kind of an embarrassment to House Speaker Philip Gunn. And so both Gunn and Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves, of course, who presides over the Senate, have said that that's going to be a priority to pass something this session. So I think you will see a big effort on that.
What other issues do we think might be big ones, Bobby? I mean, I know we've got the state budget you got to get done for the next fiscal year, you could see something, and maybe not on the state flag, but I'm sure it'll at least get brought up. But what are you looking for this session?
Well, as you said, the state budget's the big one because there's likelihood of more cuts based on the fact that revenue collections continue to be sluggish and not meeting expectations. So if that continues, they're gonna have to be additional cuts made for the next budget year, which starts July 1st, which that's the budget they'll be working on this session primarily. And then the other issue that everybody's really focusing in on is what's going to be done to revamp the Mississippi Adequate Education Program, which is the method to fund local school districts. They're talking about, the leadership, legislative leadership, Gunn and Reese particularly are talking about revamping that. They hired a group from New Jersey to make recommendations to them. That group has been in the state, has been, you know, some people perceive that their actions have been not in the open and not transparent in this process, which a lot of education supporters say was such an important issue that there should be more transparency than has occurred now. So, but that's an issue that's definitely is on everybody's radar as the session starts.
What about a lottery, Bob? We're going to get a lottery this time?
Well, you know, it passed the House last year a couple of times. It'd be a shock, but I guess as I was sitting down here in the early 1990s, which, believe it or not, I wasn't, it would have been a shock when casino gambling passed too. So who knows? I mean, right now I'd say the odds aren't good, but, you know, there's funds, you know, the state's, like, as I said earlier, is struggling with not having enough revenue, and that would be another source of revenue. And, you know, there's people now, Brad, who have been opposed to the lottery for a lot of years who are saying, well, all the states around us, I think with the exception of Alabama, but Tennessee, Arkansas, and Louisiana have lotteries, and most states do. And you know, you hear so many stories about people from Mississippi driving to Tennessee or driving to down here where I live, driving to across over to Vicksburg, across the bridge to buy lottery tickets.
Yep.
And just so much money leaving the state that I think there's more people now who in the past were opposed to the lottery or having second thoughts about their opposition because of that factor.
Right.
Money leaving the state.
Hey, Bobby, one thing I wanted to ask you about, it sounds like there was a little bit of drama yesterday.
Yeah, that was the other superintendent's issue. That was in the Senate. We talked about what happened in the House that eventually get to the Senate about the appointed superintendents. But in going back to 2016 again, the leadership, specifically Senate Appropriations Chair Buck Clark, and then he's not there anymore, but House Appropriations Chair Herb Ryerson, sneaked into legislation language that would prevent local school districts from spending any funds to pay for their membership in the Mississippi Association of School Superintendents Association. And Herb Frierson said at the time it was viewed as as penalizing the superintendents because of their effort to pass the Initiative 42 that would enhance the language in the state constitution concerning the state support for public education. And that, you know, that Frierson felt that campaign got personal. He was criticized. He felt unfairly by the superintendent, so he made no bones about the fact he was trying to punish them by putting this language in the bill, which I think Hal Brown would say was, he might not agree with, but he would say that would have been his right to try to do that. But what Brown was upset about was the way he did it. They did it, Clark and Frierson. At the end of the session, after, you know, multitude of bills are passed, just generally a lot of committee chairmen to go to the floor and ask to the whale and ask unanimous consent to make changes to correct typos or make technical changes to the bill. And they did this through the unanimous consent process. And literally nobody knew what they were doing at the time they did it. So they kind of sneaked it through. And Brian said that violated the trust that the members had with their committee chairs. And he tried yesterday to go into what they call a committee as a whole, which I've obviously never seen done, where they would instead of going through the committee process, they would have passed the bill right there could have passed the bill right there on the Senate floor to remove that language. And leadership defeated him in that effort. But I think he made his point that he felt what Clark and Frierson did was counterproductive to the process of a smooth legislative process, because you need that unanimous consent process to correct typos and those types of things, because you're dealing with a lot of paper at the end of the session, and he felt they violated that trust.
Well, drama on the first day, off to a rolling start there in the Capitol, Bobby.
Leave it to Hal Brown.
Good stuff, Bobby. Plenty of coverage from Bobby in the Journal at djournal.com today, previous days, coming up the rest of the week. You'll find plenty of words from Bobby about what's transpiring with this new legislative session. Follow Bobby on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. If you haven't checked it out yet, be sure to watch the Capitol View webcast. Bobby and I do every Monday. We do it live around 2 p.m. at djournal.com. If you missed it, you can just go check the replay. You can go find it at djournal.com. Easiest way maybe to go to the videos tab at the top of the main page and hover over that, and it should show up there near the top, I believe. But anyway, good stuff again, Bobby. Appreciate your time, man.
All right, appreciate y'all, Brad. Y'all take care.
You too. And be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday in which they provide game previews, insight, and commentary on the Bulldogs and Rebels. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Well, let's welcome William Moore into the show, our crime reporter, but filling in this week for Caleb Bedillion, our local government reporter. You had to cover city council meeting on Tuesday. You had to do Lee County supervisors, which you've done before.
I've done before. I've filled in being the government reporter for before. So.
And you worked at the Lee County Courier for years and had to deal with all that, right?
It's true. I mean, and just what was going on at the supervisors meeting, you know, was sort of crime related anyway.
Yeah, true. The meeting, the first meeting of the year, they're talking about possibly having a vote on a multi-million dollar bond issue because two main things: a new jail that they need. They need something bigger and better, and also road improvements, which is roads is something I think we wrote about not too long ago, just last month. Talking about the roads out in the county.
The drought really hurt everybody's
made them even worse.
Road conditions.
Yeah, so could see a bond issue because Phil Morgan, who's serving this year as the supervisor's president, said he didn't want to raise taxes. So that means
he's not in favor of raising taxes. Right. That's one of those things. You know, he doesn't want to be the one that has to do it.
Yeah.
But that's why they want to present the idea of a bond issue so that the voters say, yes, we think we need better roads, we need a new jail, so yes, we're willing to pay extra taxes.
Right, and we're looking at a price tag just for the jail of what, up to $20 million possibly?
It could be up to $20 million. I mean, that was the last estimate they got, which was kind of high because there's a lot of unanswered questions, was like at 19.
Right.
Yeah, but still, I mean, they'd have to find a site. I mean, they're going to need, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20 acres.
Yeah, I mean, they can't expand. He wants a whole new...
Right.
Facility.
Part of the problem is, I mean, where they are, they're sort of landlocked, and there's a set of TVA power lines right behind the current facility, and TVA says you can't build under them, so there.
Probably can't. Probably shouldn't, even if you could.
And on top of that, I mean, the old jail, I mean, it was opened in the summer of 97.
Yes.
And it's 20 years old. Yeah. And, you know, part of the... So, you know, some of the systems they have quit making, I mean, literally when some of the locks break down, they have to go on eBay and try to find locks and, you know, and buy parts through eBay.
Wow. That's not good.
No, and you know, the other problem is, you know, it's limited in size. I mean, it was originally when they started talking about this back in the early 90s, it was going to be a 350-bed jail. And because of cost, it got pared down to 200.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the day they opened it, they had three more prisoners than they had beds.
Well,
and it's basically had the same problem ever since.
Well, so they're looking to like triple the size of that.
That's the idea, is basically to look for, you know, future needs. I mean, you know, they have been running over capacity, basically since day one.
Wow.
And there have been several lawsuits over the years because of that, and you know, they run into problems.
Yeah.
You know, when grand juries come through, every grand jury, one of the things they do is they, in addition to deciding whether or not to try folks.
Yeah.
They go tour the jail to see what the conditions are.
Right.
You know? And, you know, every time that your grand jury goes through there, they see that it's overcrowded.
Yeah.
And they see that it's old and it's aging and the system's there. It's just 20 years old. You know, it's basically about time to build a new one.
Well, and also looking to, as we mentioned, improve roads. You mentioned the drought really caused some damage to a lot of the roads in the county. And I guess they probably want to do some improvements before that even happened.
They were probably wanting to do improvements before that, but it's one of those things, you know, well, nobody wants to raise taxes. You know, the whole economy was in a recession.
Sure.
So, you know, times were tough. So they were, you know, money that normally probably would have gone for road improvements had to be used other places. Because of reduced, you know, revenue. So, you know, now they're looking to try to catch up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and again, you know, they want the people to say, yes, we need better roads. So here we're willing to pay extra taxes. Right.
So, well, what's the kind of the next step toward getting some kind of bond referendum?
Basically, I mean, they pretty much know what they would probably need for the road part.
Right.
But they'll have to get a better idea on the jail, on what it would cost, more concrete estimates before they would actually... come together with a referendum and put it out to the voters. So, I mean, it's going to be sometime, you know, much later this year.
Sure.
I mean, it's not anything the next couple of months. I mean, it'll be later this year. I mean, you know, it's not an election year, so they're pretty much, well, it's not a county election year.
Right, it's city, but not county.
Yeah, city elections are coming up this summer, but that wouldn't include everybody in the county, so there'll have to be a special countywide election.
Right.
For the bond issue.
I got you. Another issue facing the supervisors is the Lee County Agri Center in Verona and what to do with it. It's, of course, it's been well documented its struggles over the years. They've gone through several directors. They've had one now for, I guess, since 2013, Tori Mitchell. But, I mean, Phil Morgan cited the overhead and overtime
it's
issues.
Basically,
and,
it's the same problems that plagued it. Man, it was open in 95. So, I mean, it's a little over 20 years. They have expanded it. You know, a lot of the services they do are not really designed to make money. I mean, there's some of the things they do are designed to help, Mississippi State and the 4-H clubs and things like that. I mean, it's more of a community service, but still, it's losing lots and lots of money. And, one of the things they have to look at is, would it be better served just to convert that into a part of the industrial park down there?
Right.
And have somebody there paying rent?
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a real possibility of it shutting down as not serving the community as we know it?
I mean, it varies from year to year, but basically it costs about $400,000 to keep the place open,
right,
each year, and it's only on good years it's bringing in about $200,000.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's
not good.
There's a certain drain on the county finances. And again, when they're looking at improving roads and building a jail, there's some places they might feel that that money would be better suited.
Sure. Okay, well, y'all can read more about this in today's journal, the Wednesday Journal, also at djournal.com. Good stuff as always, William. Appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's news break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
And don't forget, today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store on East Main Street. The store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners and employees haven't changed. Damon Palmer and his brother Jason are third generation owners of the East Tupelo grocery store that was founded in 1957. The Palmer brothers teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program. The store now sells its groceries 10% over cost. That has allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and a better parking lot. Visit Shoppers Value Foods for high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices.
Well, you did that all in one take, Emma. It's pretty good. Getting good at this podcast business.
Yeah, I was taking notes. I've been watching you.
There you go.
Okay, now we've got Jenna Parsons here to talk to us about the food section this week, which is about, healthy eating in 2017.
It is.
I'm sure that's a big goal for a lot of people this week, people trying to kick off their New Year's resolutions.
Eating better, exercising, just sort of getting lives in order.
Right.
But the dietitians that I talked with were saying that, it's not easy. In fact, it's hard, but they had some suggestions for things to make it a little easier. Things as simple as using a salad plate instead of a dinner plate. Because if you use a salad plate and you put a piece of protein and a vegetable and a starch or a whole grain on it, it looks so much more full than if you put it onto a big old dinner plate and looks kind of lost. And so you're sort of tricking your eye into thinking you have more food.
Right. Yeah. And then another thing that I think is interesting is eating colorfully.
Oh, my gosh. If you are looking at the food front today, there is a picture of a plate of food that is totally helpful. It's a piece of tilapia, some cauliflower, a small baked potato, and a banana. But if you look at that picture, it's four white foods on a white plate, and it just looks like, I mean, there is not one thing appetizing about that.
It's really kind of bland.
So when you look at the picture of the food that's got the pink pork tenderloin and the bright green broccoli and the orange carrots, I mean, that just looks like it would be fun.
It looks a lot better.
Yeah.
So I guess her advice, Ginger Mark, who you spoke to, she said, try to make your plate colorful.
Right.
The
more color, the more nutrient dense the food.
Huh.
And so remember your portion size, that a serving of meat is the size of a deck of cards, and an apple or an orange is about the size of a tennis ball, when, you know, sometimes they can be the size of softballs. And what else? They said to do an exercise, any exercise that you like. If you like it, you'll do it. So if you don't like to run, don't run, walk. If you like to dance, dance, or turn on the stereo when you're vacuuming or doing the laundry. You know, even just tapping your foot can burns calories. So they have all sorts of little suggestions. Another one is to get somebody on board with you, whether that's your spouse, your coworker, your friends, somebody to hold you accountable, maybe to take a walk with, or that you can call and say, oh, I really want that pizza. And they say, go for the salad. You know, just somebody who will be on your side.
Right. So trying to make it easier for people, I guess, to stick to those New Year's resolutions.
By doing little things, not saying, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. Say, I'm going to lose a pound a week. Or don't just say, I'm going to exercise more this year. Say, I'm going to walk 15 minutes a day. Set concrete goals for what you want to do instead of general things, and you're more likely to reach them.
Right. Awesome. Well, it sounds like something we could probably all do. Something that I should probably do.
Emma the Twig.
Well, I'm just really bad about sticking to stuff like that. You know, like I'll be like, oh, I'm going to get up every morning and run for 30 minutes. And like, I haven't done that in 6 months, you know, because I'm lazy. But
that's the main thing, laziness. I haven't really been to the gym more than like once a week in like 6 months. I used to be really good at it.
But I think I just get overly ambitious. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get back into the shape where I can run 6 miles or whatever.
And because that's so daunting, you don't even get up and walk around the block.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's true. So.
Well, and one other thing that they talk about that's really important, and Brad, it's what you're saying, you know, we're lazy, but we make time in our schedules for every other thing. We make time to eat, we make time to go to work, time to sleep, time to take the kids to soccer or
time to Scouts. Netflix binge.
I mean, we make time for everything, but we don't make time for ourselves. And 30 minutes a day is 2% of our day, and we deserve 2%. We deserve 30 minutes to ourselves, and not as a punishment of, oh gosh, now I've got to go to the gym, but I'm going to give myself this gift. I'm going to take 30 minutes for me and do something good for me. And if we kind of turn it around in our head that way, maybe it's there's more motivation looking at it as a reward instead of a punishment.
I like that positive spin there. That's good. I'll have to remember that. Okay, so let's switch gears and talk about this week's Cook of the Week, Robin Chapman, who is a big deal.
She is a very big deal.
Yeah.
Bigger deal than us. We haven't been in the New York Times.
Yeah, or on Good Morning America.
Exactly.
Or The Kitchen.
Oh,
and
wow.
She cooked.
That's a show. Yeah.
She cooked for me.
Ooh, aren't you special? Where's
that
the food?
That
again,
was amazing.
Again, Jenna comes sans food. I want some of that Mississippi roast.
Oh, it was good. It was really good. But what was really cool is this woman is so humble.
What's her name again?
Robin Chapman.
There we go.
And she's saying, you know, I'm just a nobody. And they got me to New York and they treated me like a queen. I mean, just she thought, here I'm going to be this little hick from Mississippi. And they just lavished her with attention and made her feel so special and so important. And we did the interview one day last week, and on Monday, when I was typing in her recipes, I had a question. And so I texted her, I needed cooking time on this recipe. And she texted me back the answer. And she said, by the way, I just got a text saying that the Mississippi roast was the number one recipe in the New York Times in 2016.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
good. The New York Times. I mean, it's just, all I can do is just say, go, girl.
Yeah.
That'll never be me.
So did you get to try the roast?
Yes, I did. And it's really, I got a recipe for a very similar roast, probably in 2003, where you just put a roast in the crock pot with a jar of pepperoncini peppers. And then about a year later, I got a recipe for a roast that you rub with ranch dressing and brown gravy and put in the crock pot and let go. But her recipe was one she got from her aunt, but it was a little too zingy for her family. It had vinegar mm-hmm. and Italian dressing, so she changed it to be ranch dressing and au jus. So she puts her roast in the crock pot or the slow cooker. I think we're supposed to say, since crock pot is a brand name. But she rubs it with the ranch dressing and the au jus and puts it in the slow cooker with a few pepperoncinis and some juice and a stick of butter. And lets it cook all day or overnight, and it is just a really beautiful, tender, spicy, flavorful. And if you use a sirloin tip, not a bad roast, except for that stick of butter. I don't put a stick of butter in mine, and I don't miss it.
Awesome. Well,
the recipe of hers kind of became viral on Pinterest. Is that right?
It did. Somebody put it out there. Found it in a cookbook and wrote about it in a blog. And the reason that the New York Times even took a look at her is because this Pinterest pin had been pinned a million times. And they were like, wow.
Yeah.
So the New York Times researchers started trying to find out where the roast came from, where the recipe came from. And they tracked it down to the very first person who pinned it on Pinterest. And from there, they tracked down a cookbook and then a person and then finally found Robin. She didn't even know it was her original recipe. So that was kind of neat, too.
Nice. She didn't even call it Mississippi roast. Somebody else came up with
that. She just called it roast. It was just beef roast or roast. But somebody along the way, I guess because it came from Mississippi, called it Mississippi roast. So that is how it will be known from here forward.
Wow. That is so cool.
It is.
Okay. And Jenna, kind of switching back to healthy eating, your column this week, the zucchini side dish, you said was an...
Oh, zucchini.
No,
sorry.
Let me just tell you this, Brad. This
Brad.
Is one of the best things I have ever made.
It sounds delicious.
And I am going to make it, and I'm going to make you eat it.
Oh, boy. Great.
You said you wanted food.
There's a podcast segment video.
No,
yeah,
it is so delicious. You just take the zucchini, and you cut it in half, and you scoop out the seeds. You make a little trench, and then you turn it... cut side down with a little olive oil and roast it until it's tender. That doesn't take long, about 12, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you mix up fresh garlic and panko, Japanese breadcrumbs, and Parmesan cheese and fresh herbs, and you stuff it back into the little boats and mm-hmm. roast it again, and it crisps up, and it is absolutely fabulous. And Son Patrick came in while I was making it, and he said, "What is that?" And I said, "You only have to eat one bite." And I had made six of them, six little boats, three zucchini.
Mm-hmm.
And he ate the one on his plate and went back for seconds. It was that good.
Well, I mean, my disdain of zucchini is well documented here. I do like zucchini bread. And I suppose if you
zucchini
add all that
no
stuff to it
real
and roast
taste. It,
it
just takes on the flavors of other things, kind of like tofu.
It did to me because we had to pretty much eat it just plain when I was a kid.
No.
I've told the story. My dad was in seminary. We had no money. they rented a little spit of land from Mississippi College out there off Highway 80 and grew zucchini, which apparently grows like watermelon. It just grows like crazy. And so we had zucchini coming out of our ears, and my mom would just make it all the time, and maybe that's why I just got sick of it. Maybe that was it.
Well, I'm going to make this for you.
Okay, you're going to bring it on the podcast?
I will bring it to
the
podcast.
If they get you to bring food on the podcast, then I guess I'm all for it. That's great.
I'll have to know what time I'm coming on, though, so it can be at least... We served it warm. It didn't have to be piping hot, but I wouldn't want it to be cold.
Between 10 and 10:30 usually.
Okay.
Right, Chris?
All right.
We can do that.
Okay.
Awesome.
I want to come back
it.
For that. Because I want to taste it. It sounds really good.
It sounds really good.
Yeah.
It actually does, yes. Okay.
Okay. I'll change your mind. I'll make you a believer again.
Okay. It's quite the task, Jenna.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week's food section. Thank you, Jenna.
Thank you.
Well, that does it for this episode of The Memo on this Wednesday.
I've got a lot of good notes over here.
Good. I'm glad, Emma.
Yeah, I'm going to go and study them.
You do that.
So the next time that I come on the podcast, I'll...
Still, Justin, you got to push your stories back another day. You got to go study up for the podcast notes.
Yeah, I'll tell them that I have to take a podcast exam.
Exactly. It's a pop quiz. And you don't know when it's coming, Emma.
Brad, I think you need to be taking notes.
Probably do.
I think Emma schooled you today.
To be honest. She did fine. She did a fine job,
exactly.
As always. Glad to have you in here. And again, we hope Derek gets... well and is back. And if he's not back tomorrow, we'll just bring Emma back in.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Sounds good. Derek, don't get well.
Good show. You can listen to us a variety of ways. Of course, we're on iTunes, we're on any of the podcast apps, we're at memo.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalmemo. Send us an email, memo@journalinc.com, with your thoughts, questions, criticisms, praise, whatever.
Tips and tricks.
This one weird trick will make your podcast better. And once again, we remind you that today's show was sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, where you can get the ingredients for the recipes in today's food section. The Palmer brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name brand products. You can visit the locally owned grocery store on East Main Street. Love the look, love the prices, and get helped by the same people you knew at Palmer's. You did that ad better than I did, let's be honest.
You need to take notes.
The student.
I wasn't going to say anything.
The student is now the master.
That's right.
I mean, you're acting like this is the first time Emma has hosted.
We'll let Brad co-host with me tomorrow.
Right?
Oh, okay. The memo with Emma Crawford.
Wow.
See, wow, I did it again. With Emma Kent. Well, if you change your dang byline, it's Emma Crawford Kent, so I still think Emma Crawford.
It's a maiden name.
I know. I'm not saying. Do
you ever call Michaela Gibson?
No. Although it's funny, her husband will just shout out Gibson across the newsroom when he wants to get her attention. It's funny.
Jacob calls me Crawford sometimes.
Does he? Uh-huh. Hey, Crawford, come here.
Yeah, sometimes.
Really? Okay, well, that's it for this edition of The Memo. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow. So for Emma Kent and Chris Kiefer, I'm Brad Locke. Have a good one.